gravity.
Dalian Brock, Diaries, 10,661 TYA, Thoyor Arrival. Lannery wakes from a dream of home, in which she is dreaming of the stars, and Dale is sitting beside her. He is bathed in firelight, but most of his face is in shadow. Still, she can read him from his stance and his stillness. He is staring at her with a terrifying coldness. What? Is there something? But she knows there is no threat from outside. They are a day away from Anil Kesh, camped beneath a copse of heartberry trees. They have eaten several berries each, and Lannery's stomach is warm and comfortably full, the berry's goodness thrumming through her. There is wildlife in these foothills that might mean them harm. Acid spiders, and rumors of a family of flame tigers that cross the Moon Islands. But she would sense if any of them came close. She would know.
"I am the chasm," Dale says.
His voice is lower than before, deeper, as if echoing from somewhere deep. "What do you mean?" She sounds like a scared little girl. She is scared. Dale shifts, turning toward the fire so that its light reveals his face. He is still her brother, but he looks older than before. Wiser. As if she is seeing a Dale who has already completed his great journey.
"I have depths waiting to be filled.
Places you can never see and go, because you're Jedi, and my depths are my own, not steered by something else." "The Force doesn't steer me, Dale." He snorts. She is even more scared. She went to sleep still knowing who her brother was, but now... "What happened?" she asks.
"I am the chasm. I have depths to explore and fill."
"Depth implies mystery and fullness. But in you, I sense only void."
"Your Force tells you that," he says, almost spitting the words. "And you believe it."
"No. I know that because of my love for you as a brother." For the briefest instant, a look of regret seems to cross his face. But perhaps it is merely a flame from the fire, casting a sympathetic shadow.
"My own great journey ends soon," he says.
"After I've taken everything I can from Typhon, bled it of everything that can be of use, I'll be leaving.
Don't get in my way."
At dusk the next day, they approach Anil Kesh. Lannery has heard many stories about this place, but nothing can prepare her for the reality. The temple itself is an incredible structure, graceful and brooding, huge and yet insectile in its shape and proportions, an engineering marvel that surpasses any other on Typhon. Its Thoyor floats about it, sometimes close, sometimes farther away. It's believed that it drifts with the Force. Beneath the temple, the chasm. One of the most amazing places on Typhon, and also one of the most enigmatic and dangerous. The chasm is a seemingly bottomless pit within which Force storms rage and mystery resides. No Jedi has ever gone deep enough to find the chasm's bottom, or if they have, they have never returned. The stronger one is with the Force, the greater the chasm's detrimental influence, disorientation, pain, and eventually death. Many have tried. Some have died, and some have gone so deep that they returned insane, deluded. Suicide is common among those who ignore all warnings and their own better judgment to try. One of Anil Kesh's main aims is to plumb the depths of the chasm, because it is Typhon and the Force at its most mysterious. Lannery has seen hollows of Temple Master Quan Jang discussing the chasm, and even through these, she can sense his awe and fascination. "The Jedi," he says, "will find the bottom one day. It's what might exist there that possesses them to keep trying."
"I am the chasm," Dale said.
Standing close to Anil Kesh now, Lannery expects him to be staring at this strange wound in the land, but he seems untouched and unconcerned. Unlike him, she can feel the draw of the chasm and its incredible primeval power. The force is in turmoil within her. She feels sick. To manage that sickness, she knows, will be one of her first lessons at Anil Kesh. This is not the final destination of their great journey. But Lannery cannot help feeling the sense of an ending hanging over them both. Greenwood Station was a city that never slept. The sun had set, and the dome was now illuminated by hundreds of huge lights suspended beneath the massive support ribs. They were a poor substitute for the sun, but Lannery supposed this was their night. Shifts were changing. The air was filled with the smells of industry and cooking and sewage, and she and Tree were once again approaching Max Hoggin's imported water stall. She saw him from a distance, closing broken shutters across his tables and instructing several helpers on where to store those bottles not yet sold. He waved away a couple of late customers with an apologetic smile, then saw Lannery. His smile remained, but it was no longer soft. Lannery did not break her stride, but she did feel comfort from the force flowing through her. Muscles tensed, her sword sang with power, and her senses, always alert, became attuned to danger. Max Hoggin was her focus, but if he meant her harm, then he would desire that focus. Any attack would come from those around him.
Trisana, Max Hoggin called. Lannery! So good to see you both again.
Tree glanced around nervously to see if anyone else had heard his name, and Lannery could not help smiling. She wondered how many enemies the Twi'lek had made over the years. I'm surprised you'd close up shop, Lannery said.
Only for a while. People travel to work now, intent on their journey. Or others go home, or to the taverns, where water isn't their prime concern. Also, I find that information is at its driest at this time of day.
I expect you're filling and resealing the bottles, too, eh?
Tree asked. Max Hoggin looked genuinely hurt.
You doubt my product?
Tree didn't answer.
Other water merchants come and go. They fill bottles from poisoned springs in the caves below Greenwood Station, drop in a few purifying tablets, seal them up, sell them as pure. None of them last long. That's why I'm still here. Selling purity after 4 years. That's why they always come back to me.
Everyone buys their water from you? Lannery asked.
Everyone that matters, Max Hoggin said.
His face dropped abruptly.
But that's enough about water. Follow me.